Brilliant. Thank you very much, Andy, for reading. If you've not met before, my name's Liam. I'm one of the leaders here at City Gates Church. Let me pray for us before we look more at this passage together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that we've enjoyed this morning. Lord, for how we've been reminded of the hope that we have in Christ. Lord, we pray that as we look at this story, Lord, that we might see you more clearly. We might see it afresh. Lord, and see as we just see this interaction between Jesus and this woman, what we might learn about what it is to have a hope that lasts. Thank you so much that we can have that in you with great confidence and assurance. I pray that we might be encouraged in that in our time this morning. Speak to us through your word, please, Lords. Amen. Well, if you've been with us over the last couple of weeks, you'll know that we've been looking at these kind of big questions. Basically, last week we looked at how can I find true purpose in life. And this one today, how can I find a hope that lasts? If you want to catch up on last week, how can I find true purpose in life, then that's on our YouTube channel. You can watch it there. And today we're thinking about hope. And we've chosen these kind of two topics of purpose and hope for a few reasons, really. Basically, they are some of the topics that are covered in Hope Explored in this course. So hopefully today is something that maybe whets your appetite, maybe invites some more questions for you. Please do just come along to Hope Explored starting this coming Thursday, and there'll be an opportunity to dig into this topic more. We're going to be looking at one of those every week, seeing what Jesus says about them, seeing how only the gospel, the good news about Jesus, delivers these things, hope, peace, purpose, in full. So please do come along and we'll think about those more. But secondly, as well as we just think about purpose and hope, we know that those are just massive things in life, aren't they? They, in many ways, are fundamental to who we are. We look for them, we try to build our lives around them. So they're not only important things, but they are things that are life-giving. On Hope Explored, they have a YouTube channel, and they did this kind of teaser, kind of trailer video for Hope Explored, and they did lots of kind of short interviews, basically, on the streets, asking people, what gives you hope? Asking that question there, what gives you hope? And so asking a few different people, they said lots of different things. They said, looking towards the future for something better, my family, my children, my grandchildren. Someone said, good vibes, basically, having people around me that are positive, that are glass half full, that encourage me. A student said, university, we're all studying together to bring change, working towards these goals together. And then finally, this was filmed during lockdown, someone said, a world without COVID. Basically, a world that is free from things that are hard that may take away our joy in life. Maybe you resonate with these things. Hope is a forward-facing emotion, isn't it? We're looking forwards to the future and what may come. We're hoping that it may be better in some way. Maybe you look towards your studies or your career or whatever it is, getting to that next step that may make life just that bit more easier. Maybe your hope is in finding something new and different, a new job, a new partner, a new holiday. Maybe your hope is in just having fullness and contentment in life, not having to face hard things that life can throw out. See, whatever it is, we know that hope is an incredibly powerful emotion. It can keep us going against the odds. And yet, when our hopes are dashed, when they're not fully realized, when they do not deliver, we literally have a saying for it, don't we? It's the hope that kills you. You see, it becomes all the more crushing of an experience and a disappointment. Maybe you're here today and that's how you feel about hope. That's been your experience in life about hope. One of my favorite films is The Shawshank Redemption. And hope is one of the main topics of it. And there's two main characters, Andy and Red, and they have very different perspectives on hope. For Andy, he thinks hope is a good thing. He says, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things. And no good thing ever dies. It's something that he clings to and that delivers. But for Red, the other character, he's angry about hope. He does not think it's a good thing. He says, hope is a dangerous thing. Hope can drive a man insane. In this life as they live in prison. There's no chance of getting out for him. So he thinks, hope is pointless. My life is not going to change. Our passage today, it may be a new story that you've kind of come across just today, or perhaps it's a well-known story to you. But we're here in John's Gospel, an account of Jesus' life. It's where the author, John, he zooms in and kind of looks at this kind of interaction that Jesus has with this woman. Because you see, as we look at this, it only lines up with how we really think about hope, isn't it? Because we think about hope in real terms, don't we? We don't think about hope as like this vague, abstract concept thing that's separate from just ordinary life. When we think about hope, hope is something real and tangible. Our hearts just naturally pull towards something that we think will give us hope. Hope is personal. And the Christian claim about hope is that hope is embodied in the person of Jesus. So our passage, as we look at Jesus, it kind of almost gives us a case study into hope, a hope that lasts. And to look at it, we're going to look at three different lines or quotes or bits from this story that just help to take us through the story, that show us this interaction Jesus has with this woman, but also the change in the woman's life as she meets hope. Hopefully they come up on screen. All right, but the first one of these you can find in verse 15. She says this, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." As we think about how can I find a hope that lasts, that's our first point at the top, longing for a hope that sticks without hope. Yet Jesus is here. He is amongst them. He is with their people. And we see that straight away in verse 9, just how radical that was. In verse 9, the woman notices, "You are a Jew, and I a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" You see, Jesus is scandalously breaking all the social cues and protocols of the day. Because he's not only speaking with a Samaritan, he's speaking with a Samaritan woman. That was a million miles away from what a Jewish man like Jesus would do. And we saw, as the story was read out there, their conversation revolves around where this woman can get this living water. And we're kind of working out, does a woman really get what Jesus is saying? Is she just on about the water that she can get from the well? But we see in verse 13, it is clearly not water that has come from the well. It is a water that whoever drinks it will never thirst. A spring of water welling up to eternal life. And we can see, can't we, from that quote here in verse 15, that is desirable for that woman. She says, please, give me that water. Again, whether she works out what it is or not. But we can see, just from verses 17 and 18, just what this woman's life was like. She has had a history of broken relationships. She is isolated from the community. She's there at the well, heat of the day, alone. And you see, whether it's by her circumstances or by her own failure, her life is just a series of crushed hopes, one after another. Jesus knows this woman, and he can see this woman is not just after a drink. She is after a hope that will last. A hope in life that delivers what it promises and does not crumble away. Isn't that something that we're all longing for? We want a hope like that, a water that stays, that lasts, that doesn't just momentarily quench our thirst, but then we have to return to it again and again. Maybe life has felt like that for you, just a series of failed attempts to try and get hope and happiness. Whether it's going from one relationship to another, or perhaps looking for a new job after the buzz of the current one wears off, or just trying to find it in the latest material thing that you think will improve your life. You see, these things that we hope for, they can be good things, but when we put the full weight of our hope on them, when that should be only found in God's, we've put them in the place of where God should be, and they can never fully deliver. That's why we are looking for a hope that will last, a hope that will satisfy, that is resilient for life, that does not fail us and leave us going back to square one again and again. You see, this woman, she's kind of had this swirling life of attempts to hold on to hope. And yet, in this passage, we see she meets Jesus. Jesus is the one who crosses all the kind of cultural barriers of the day, who offers her this hope that is just almost beyond her comprehension at first. She just initially, it seems like she doesn't quite get what Jesus is saying to her. But as we see the story continue, as we see the penny drop, we see that she realizes who Jesus is, the hope he brings. And when she does realize, it's like her life just enters this new dimension of color and life. And we see that in just the second line, the second quote from the story, taking us through verse 29. She says this, "Come, see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah?" Longing for a hope that is true. That's our second point. Longing for a hope that is true. That's what we're after, isn't it? For hope to last, it needs to be a hope that is true. A hope that is real. So often we use that word hope just in a way that we describe something that we want to happen. Maybe you have hopes for 2024. Like, I hope I'll meet someone. I hope I'll get a promotion. I hope in this and that. And it makes it all the more painful when these things don't materialize. You get the email that says, "We regret to inform you, but..." A person turns out not to be what you'd hoped them to be. The negative test results come back. You see, we put so much of our emotional weight into these. They crush us when they turn out not to be true. You see, that's our experience when what we hoped in let us down. The hope they promised turned out not to be true. And they don't deliver what they promise. You see, for the woman in this story, the hope of love and security in human relationships let her down time and time again. And yet she is still looking for it. Still looking for it with her sixth partner. You see, the search for hope is intoxicating, and it leaves us continually looking. In many ways, the search for hope is a search for truth, isn't it? No one wants to build their life on a false hope, on a hope they know not to be true. That's often how some people can think about hope and faith as well. Maybe you've had a conversation like this, or maybe you've heard about someone who has. I've heard a couple of people talk about it and used it as an example in sermons where a Christian might be talking about faith and they're talking to their non-Christian friends. And a non-Christian friend goes, "Oh, I could never have the faith that you have. I could never have it." And the Christian just gently kind of asks, "Oh yeah, why not? What do you understand by what faith means?" And the friend goes, "Oh, faith. Well, that's believing in something that you know not to be true." Believing in something you know not to be true. Living in a fairy tale, that's what false hope is. Setting your eyes on the happy ending when you know there is no chance of it materializing. But a real hope is one that is true. Not a hope that's wishful thinking, like I hope that this will happen. It's a hope that gives us a joyful confidence for the future. A joyful confidence for the future. And you see, that's what this woman finds in Jesus. In verses 19 to 26, we see how they continue to talk, and yet the subject changes from what the woman's love life is like to where Jews and Samaritans might worship. And Jesus is pointing her forward to the future, a future hope. In verse 23, he says these words, "A time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth." It has now come. This time of restoration is coming. When Samaritans, this people group, they were seen to have spiritually compromised away from God, looking out and sold out on God and looking for other hopes. They will be people among these true worshippers. They will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And as Jesus talks, and the woman just starts to kind of realize he's talking about Messiah, isn't he? That's what we see in verses 25 and 26. And yet Jesus says these game-changing words in verse 26. "I, the one speaking to you, I am he. I am he. I am that Messiah, that figure that you are looking for hope. And now there's been people throughout history, haven't there, that just from who they are or what they did or what they stood for, in many ways, they've come to almost embody hope for people. Maybe someone like Martin Luther King Jr., they exude the kind of reassurance that hope brings. You see, that is who the Messiah was, this figure of hope that would come and restore and rescue God's people. He was the figure of hope for the future. That's why we see just how personal hope is in this story. Hope is personal. It's personal in that Jesus comes and he knows this woman. He knows everything about her and what her life has been like. And yet, despite that, he makes himself known to her. He tells her who he is. He knows everything that she's done in her life. And yet, staggeringly, this is the first time in John's gospel that Jesus refers to himself as the Messiah. I am he. John is making the point to us here. Jesus has come to bring truth and hope and life to all people, shown by how he knows this bruised Samaritan woman. And that's what our line, our quotes in verse 29 shows us, the change it brings. You see, notice how the woman drops everything. She forgets the water jar that she has carried all the way to the well, that the reason why she is there, and she runs all the way back to the town, the people who have ostracized her, cut her out of community, and she says, quick, come with me now. Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. And that leading question, hopeful question, could this be the Messiah? You see, for a hope that lasts, we need a hope that sticks, a hope that is true, and thirdly, a hope that delivers. A hope that delivers. Have a look at verse 42, up on screen there as well. We see the people say, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. You can almost picture the scene, can't you, in this Samaritan town. It's noon, so it's the heat of the day. People would avoid the heat. They're trying to avoid the sun, you know, maybe indoors. Maybe some people are still milling around in like the public spaces, like the market where the disciples will have just been. They've gone to get Jesus some food. And yet this woman runs into the town, bursts onto the scene. She is shouting at the top of her voice. She is banging on doors so that everyone can hear. And she's saying, quick, come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah? So a crowd just, you know, starts to gather around her. They know who this woman is. They know what her life has been like. And yet there's something different. She is full of life and joy, talking about this Messiah. If you're here today, or perhaps you're watching online, and you're looking into who Jesus is, you're asking questions about Christianity, wanting to find out more, then you are part of that crowd. You are part of that crowd in that town, because you're being invited to come and see who Jesus is. Come and consider, is he this Messiah, this person who brings truth and meaning and hope to life? You're invited to come and explore and discover who he is and what he did and what that means. And that is why all of us are doing Hope Explore together as a church. We'd love to see you there this Thursday. That's what the people do. You see, in verse 30, we see that they go towards Jesus because of what they have heard. They make their way out of the town towards Jesus. And in verse 39, we see they're compelled because of the woman's testimony, because of what she said about Jesus. Maybe you're here and, you know, whatever you think about kind of church or Christians, there's just something about Jesus that is just something different, something compelling, something attractive that just draws you in for a further look. That's what these people do. They come and they take a closer look. They investigate for themselves. They hear from Jesus himself. So they believe for themselves. In him, in Jesus, they find a hope that does not overpromise, and that truly, truly delivers. And so that's why they say in verse 42 why they believe. They believe not only because of what you said, what this woman said, because now we have heard for ourselves. We went to Jesus to find out more. And we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. If you're looking to Jesus, keep on coming along. Keep on asking your questions. If you're a Christian here today, then this example of this woman, probably the most unlikely evangelist in John's Gospel, well, she is a model for us to replicate. When we want to talk to people about Jesus, to share that hope, we're inviting them, come and know Jesus. Come and know this hope. As Jesus says in verse 36, the fields are ripe for harvest, even in unlikely places like Samaria. The kingdom of God has come. People can come and know him and know the lasting hope that he brings. Because you see, the Christian hope is not just one for this life now. It's a lasting hope because it is an everlasting hope. An everlasting hope. A hope that goes beyond death. That goes beyond and deals with our problem of sin and the shame and guilt that it can bring. All of that is taken away, and that we can truly and fully know God. We can know his Messiah, this Savior of the world, this light come into darkness. That's what we're wanting to share with people when we talk to them about Jesus. You see, it's not like when we want to people to come and know Jesus, it's not like we're taking them around this kind of car showroom, inviting them to try and upgrade on a newer model of hope. This hope's a bit more economical. It does more miles to the gallon. Or this one, you know, it handles really well. We're not inviting them just to one hope among many. We're inviting them to know the hope that truly delivers. That delivers eternal life beyond death. On Hope Explored, Rico Tice, he's the man in lots of the videos who kind of leads the course. He describes the Christian hope like this. If you're writing notes down, this is the line to remember and to write down. The Christian hope, a joyful confidence and expectation for the future that is worth waiting for and changes everything about the present. A joyful confidence and expectation for the future that is worth waiting for and changes everything for the present. Just as we've seen today, the Gospels are full of stories where Jesus brings remarkable, life-changing hope into different situations. He changes everything about the present, like he does for the woman here. But yet he changes everything about the future as well. Giving eternal life, the joy of eternal life with him. And that's why this hope, this Christian hope, is the best of things. It gives us amazing confidence and expectation in life, whatever it may hold, that we look forward, it is worth waiting for until we are with him, can know him face to face. Let me pray as we finish.